This is a long pause.
Even for us.
Superhero time! Showtime!
Well, so now I'm trying to imagine a Furby transforming into a Predacon. I mentioned the eyes would be on the chest.
Didn't we basically get that from the Japanese show, Moon or whatever?
Let's not speak of Moon.
Unless it's Sailor Moon.
Thank you.
How about Moon in one of those Sailor Scout uniforms?
See, now that would be hot.
Okay, we're getting into just bad places now.
Well, speaking of, this show is not going to go bad places.
Speaking of bad places, it's superhero time. It's going to be another Godzilla episode. I can just feel it already.
Except one of us will know what we're talking about.
I'm XV, and with me on this week's disaster, I have Fort Max.
Hello.
Because where else would a disaster be except around Fort Max? I also have Paladin.
Hi there.
And the reason for all of our rage this week, hey Mickey.
It'll be a miracle romance.
Arg. Okay, well, we'll get into that a little later in the show. Like, as much later as I can possibly manage. But for now, let's talk news. Fort Max?
Well, Bandai America's Twitter feed recently has some very grainy cell phone pictures of packaging samples for the Power-Up Green Ranger and White Ranger figures.
Power-Up Green Ranger looks just as cool as an actual figure as the promo pictures, don't you think?
Yes. And the Green Ranger comes with the Dragon Zord power coin, and the White Ranger has the Tiger Zord power coin. Using
wow,
the show
what
designs.
Are the odds?
Well, it seems that Bandai is still under the impression that they're selling these toys to somebody. Maybe someone should tell them.
And still, I'm going to voice my displeasure that I have before in that the power coins that come with these figures are not compatible with the original Power Morpher. Which would be completely excusable if they had given us a real new Power Morpher toy.
But if there was a new Power Morpher toy that's compatible with these, wouldn't it be much, much smaller?
Well, obviously they would have had to make it regular size and make these power coins bigger.
But the power coins aren't bigger, so if there is a Morpher for these coins, it's
which
going to be
not.
It hilariously tiny, just like the Power Blaster and Dragon.
Well, they seem to be. They seem to have be associated with the Spin Action Figures gimmick, and also there is this Power Morpher looking-ish zip launcher that had some of the coins in it at Toy Fair.
Oh, I remember when they used that in the show.
Yeah.
Yes, when they shot their power coins out at people.
That was in Green with Evil, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they did before their Zords came back. They shot their power coins at the Dragon Zord.
And it was super effective.
And that's when they beat Serpentera.
Actually, Paladin, I was just going to say something like that. Of course, in my case, it was going to be
Ghost
not
Ager.
Very effective. But yes, it's all about the Pokemon references, isn't it?
And they don't have to be forced.
Yeah, Mickey.
Your mom's forced.
Well, if you would have given her the nickel, Mickey.
Who am I kidding? Nobody has to force your mom. She's willing.
Okay, so what else is in news this week?
A couple new Ghost Sager items popped up.
Oh, yes, the Leon Cellular and Leon Laser were released in Japan this week.
Yes. Are you still thinking about getting those?
I'm still pretty interested in the Leon Cellular. It's got a whole bunch of button combinations.
Yeah.
XV likes buttons.
I think it's definitely a more interesting morpher than the Tensoder.
Oh, absolutely. It has buttons.
Yeah.
I would rather have a bunch of button combinations than a card reader gimmick.
But this time you've got buttons and cards.
Well, yeah, but the Leon Cellular does not have a barcode reader.
So you have to type in the UPC, like when you're at Walmart and the barcode's damaged.
Right. Yeah, every one of Gosei Knight's cards comes with a 3-digit number combination, so that you can actually activate the card function. it doesn't scan the cards itself. And of course, when you put the Gosei Knight cards in a tensoder, it just makes generic sounds because the tensoder wasn't programmed for it.
Right.
That's good planning.
Well, I would imagine that since these have full barcodes on them anyway, it's possible a later toy will come out with a barcode reader that will be compatible with everything.
Ten Soldier version 2. You get to buy another one.
The Tenso Touch.
They would do that, wouldn't they?
The Tenso Touch based on an iPhone. How about that?
Perfect.
Or would that be the Touch Soder?
That just sounds wrong.
It does.
The bad Touch Soder.
Perhaps the whatever items when to give the Ghost Agers their power-up armor will read those cards.
Actually, that's what I was thinking of.
The Ten Sword?
Oh, is it a sword that's giving them this little football armor?
That's basically what it looks like so far. The sword slash gumball machine.
Oh. No, what
the Ghost
Sage
is so stupid.
What it looks like, do you remember the commercials for the glass globes that you put the water in and turn them upside down in your flower pots?
Yes.
That's what it looks like.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Go to a Walgreens, you'll see them there almost immediately.
They're supposed to be like automatic waterers for houseplants. And they're just big glass bulbs that you
stick. Okay, you know those water towers with like big onions on stalks, like sticking up way above the ground?
Yeah.
Imagine a small glass version of those you put in a flower pot.
That's what the Ten Sword looks like.
Or a gumball machine.
Or
I mean, either
baker.
Way. I think Fort Max is still confused. We better switch them out with another.
Now I'm just imagining it that it would have Tom Servo's voice.
See, Fort Max, you stepped all over the next Pokemon reference I was going to make. Fort Max is confused. Fort Max has hurt himself in his confusion. But no. Alas.
Now who's forcing things?
No, I am still interested in getting the Leon Cellular. Perhaps not immediately, but eventually I still want to get it. And maybe if the Leon Laser goes on sale, too, I'll get that. Although it looks a lot less interesting than the Cellular does.
Speaking of morphers, did you get your sushi changer in the mail yet?
Yes, I did.
How
and
is
it? It's not a candy toy.
Good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's very sushi.
Is it fun?
It doesn't have as many button combinations as I'd like. Basically, all it's programmed to do is call out the names for the first 12 origami and do the combination sounds for Daikaio and Ika Daikaio. Unless I'm doing something.
But it transforms into fish food, though.
It transforms into a piece of sushi.
Of course.
So, really, the button combinations are irrelevant.
Yeah. Electronics are lame.
Of course, now that I have a hidden disk over here, I kind of regret not having anything to use it with besides the sushi changer.
Well, perhaps in 2012 you'll have something that'll fit into.
Not likely.
Yeah, I'll be really surprised if the American Shinkanger toys are compatible with the Japanese discs. That would be entirely too simple.
Entirely, yes.
On the other hand, if I wait long enough, I'm sure that somebody will be basically giving away like a Shinken Maru or something.
Possible. Check, Henshin Justice Unlimited or something like that.
Oh, they have a marketplace thing?
Yeah.
I haven't looked around there very much except for like things to download. Speaking of which, I'm kind of surprised that at least a RAW for the Shinkanger special has not come out yet.
I know, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
That's odd that it's been, 2 weeks when you haven't got a RAW yet?
Well, I'm sure it'll turn up eventually.
That's just unusual. I wonder what's going on.
It's not like you care about Shinkanger anyway, Mickey.
No, I'm just... The situation is intriguing.
Of course, if it was a go on your video, you'd be having a little tantrum right now.
I would. I would be all rage and froth.
And then that would be an interesting podcast to listen to.
Unlike ours.
Yes.
Nice, guys, nice. But yeah, I'm glad I was finally able to get a sushi changer. I was kind of getting worried about that, and it wasn't ridiculously expensive either. So, all in all, it was a pretty good deal. Now, if my pre-order for a Dopant memory would just come in, I'd be all set for a little while. Arg. Okay, so what else is going on?
Well, there was that one image of the Super Ghost Sager we saw, but we covered that, really.
Okay. Anything else?
And just today, the first full image of Grand Ghost Sager 8.
They really need to get a new naming scheme for these mecha.
I guess so.
At least for Ghost Sager. I don't feel right applying the adjective grand to anything from Ghost Sager.
Or great.
Yeah.
Well, it can also be translated as ground. Does that make it any better?
Grounded?
Yeah.
I want them to play up the aspect that Gosei Ground or whatever is a dump truck.
Gosei Dump?
Yeah. And then the combined form would be Gosei Great Dump. Well, Paladin, don't pretend like you like Ghost Sager any more than the rest of us do.
The series, no, but I really do like these mecha designs.
Fair enough. But I still want the naming scheme to more accurately reflect how I perceive the series.
No, that makes sense, I guess.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
Go say irritation.
Go say burning sensation.
Wow. That is totally not the association I make with Ghost Sager. I still prefer, like, Go Say Fail. Moving right along.
Please. Well, anyway, Grand Ghost Sager 8 is pretty acceptable. He's nowhere near as much as a cluster as a lot of other mecha designs.
Paladin, please, can we, like, tone that down so I don't have to edit so much?
Why the not?
I knew one of you was going to do that, and Fort Max isn't creative enough to think of it himself, so... It was really just a toss-up between the two of you.
That's what your mom said.
And see, now I'm waiting for Fort Max to throw out a string of profanities at me, and it's just not coming.
Just like
I live to disappoint you.
You succeed incredibly, Fort Max. Okay, so is there anything else going on?
Well, I think that's all the news.
Go say ground, whatever. I kind of got his legs sticking up in the air like little antennas off his head.
Yeah, there's only so many different ways that you can make that look, given that it has to turn into a little guy and a head. Actually, two heads.
Well, headmasters, they just fold the legs up behind them, breaking their knees in the process.
Ow. Well, I mean, they've been partly turned into robots, so it doesn't really matter.
I wonder how they get showers.
I wonder how they go to the bathroom.
I'm sure there's pipes for that. Have you seen Dune, the steel suits?
No.
Everything's recycled.
Nice. I bet that gets tasty after a while. Okay, so do we want to move on to our episode recaps?
I guess so.
And right, I finally gotten around to watching Double.
Say what, Fort Max?
Hooray!
Gotten around to watching Double, up to episode 20 so far, but...
Oh, cool.
Damn, you're moving fast.
That's what your mom said.
Glad you're finally joining us.
Yeah, it's about time, Fort Max, and at least you're watching something good, unlike Ghost Sager.
I haven't been watching Ghost Sager.
That's what I'm saying, at least you chose something good to watch.
It only took us 6 months to convince you to watch it.
No kidding.
Well, what do you think?
It is awesome.
There you go.
Yes. There is.
Glowing recommendation from everybody's favorite, Fort Max.
Yay.
Paladin, Fort Max is one of the cool kids. Why aren't you watching Double? Don't you want to be just like Fort Max?
Don't be taunting Paladin. He's watching Ghost Sager for us.
I'm watching Ghost Sager too. Where's my credit?
Yeah, but you leave the show whenever we start talking about Ghost Sager, so you don't count.
That's because I don't want to talk about Ghost Sager. I stayed around last week when we were recording and talking about Ghost Sager, and we talked about 3 episodes last week.
Yeah. The Adventures of the Shit Rangers again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Fort Max, I'm really glad that you think Double is so cool, otherwise I would have to think less of you as a person.
Yeah, we'd have to kick you out of our club.
Yes, because we're just so hip and exclusive.
We are.
Bird.
Okay, well, let's go into our episode recaps for this week.
All we have is Ghost Ranger, right?
Fort Max, how about telling us about that Power Rangers remaster? Oh, that's right. There wasn't a Power Rangers remaster because ABC Family is scheduling it
run
a
by
month
the devil.
After the last episode that aired. Good job.
Well, let's talk about Double then. Oh, wait. Soccer.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch this weekend's episode of Double. Got it downloaded, though. But I didn't have time. It came out too late last night to watch, and I didn't have any time for it today, so... Oops!
I checked this morning. I didn't even see it up there on TV Nihon's site.
It's not on TV Nihon.
Oh, you're doing the double time subs?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know that doesn't really help you, but...
Well, I could watch the double time subs on YouTube or something, but...
How old is your computer that it can't
It's not a matter of age. He has a Mac, and he won't download the program I found for him to make it work.
I'm a little paranoid about downloading software.
You are using a Mac.
More than I should
Nobody writes malicious code for a Mac.
They can.
But they don't.
They don't because no one uses Macs.
And for good reason.
See, by using a Mac, I get out of having to do things for other people. I said, I can't do it. I'm on a Mac.
Yes, and I admire that trait, but still.
Whether it's true or not.
You're depriving yourself of Double.
No, I'm building up anticipation of further Double.
Plus, you're impeding the progress of the podcast by, you know, not being able to discuss Double right away.
Well, so
admittedly,
are you.
This week it's not really a problem because I didn't get any time to watch, but on a normal week, we'd be a week apart.
Well, I'm not going to rearrange my schedule for the podcast.
I'm not telling you to rearrange your schedule. I'm telling you to rearrange your computer.
Okay. I'll spend another $300 or $400 on a new computer then.
That's the spirit.
There you go. No, just spend like $200 on a cheap little netbook.
Or just spend $0 on downloading the thing he pointed you to.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, my phone could run soft subs, I bet.
Oh, boy. Well, what do you use? How do you play video from your computer onto your TV?
I stream it through the Xbox.
You don't have a PlayStation 3, do you?
I do.
Have you tried it with that?
No, because I don't have the software to stream it to the PS3.
Oh.
That requires paying for software for the Mac to work with the PS3.
And I guess there's not equivalent of PS3 media server for Mac either.
No, it's they only offer the free shit for
what
Windows.
What video player do you use?
Well, on the computer or on the,
yeah.
The Xbox? On the computer, I've got VLC, I know that. I don't ever use it. I don't ever watch anything on the computer except for YouTube, basically.
Yeah, you said it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, just drag a comfortable chair in front of the computer.
But then the screen's small.
Sit closer to it.
Wait, we're really off topic here.
Wait.
And yet this is still more interesting than Ghost Rider.
What resolution do you have your screen set at?
You know, I don't even know. I'd have to check.
Probably at least 1280.
The screen is old as dirt.
Okay, then
borrowed
640.
It from work.
Then you're probably running at 640 by 480.
No, it's at least 800 by 600, but... Oh.
Well, see, Paladin, I know we're off topic, and this is still more interesting than Ghost Ranger, but we have to make up the time that we don't get to talk about Double or, you know, like Power Rangers with, so.
Okay, here we go. 1024 by 768.
And what type of TV, well, what resolution is your TV?
It's 1080p.
So, in other words, not that much difference.
Well, resolution-wise, yes, but my TV is 40 inches and my monitor is 12.
And how far away do you sit from your TV?
6 feet.
And you're about 12 inches from your computer, right?
Right.
See, Fort Max makes a good point. At that rate, your computer monitor is probably filling up more of your vision than your TV does.
Well, it's not about the vision so much as about the seating.
Well, I told you to drag a comfortable chair to your computer.
Okay, hey, well, that's great.
Wait, I got an idea. Wait, Mickey. Does your TV have a monitor connection on the back of it?
I'm sure it does, but I don't have a cable that far.
Well, move your computer closer to the TV.
Or move the TV closer to the computer.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay, y'all come over here and do that for me then, because I don't feel like moving furniture.
In fact, I've even got, I think, like a 10-foot monitor cable. That far enough?
No, you'd probably need at least 20. And that's going straight through the middle of the room.
Well, regardless, figure out some way to make this work and then do it. Or,
why?
You know,
what were we talking about?
Just download the damn software. You know, I use the Windows version of it. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I'm more at risk using the Windows version because it's Windows and everybody writes viruses and stuff for that. Nobody cares about screwing up a Mac.
Well, how about that Ghostager?
I don't know. I think what we were talking about was more interesting.
Well, let's talk about Sailor Moon now.
So have you caught any interesting Pokemon lately?
We just do the Ghostager episode rundown or what?
Yeah, let's run it down with a truck.
Okay.
Epic fail 18, is it?
18 now.
It was less epic of a fail than the previous episodes have been.
I know.
I have to at least admit that.
I guess Ghostday Night really is picking up the things.
And nobody turned into a pile of poo either.
Well, every line of dialogue given to Ghostday Night is one line of dialogue that the Ghostagers don't speak, so, you know.
And Ghostday Night really is Captain Planet.
Yes.
In fact, it's even worse because he's later Captain Planet when it just got completely, like, anti-corporate and everything.
Yes. His first mission in this episode is to destroy a factory that pollutes the Earth.
Which, you know, has nothing to do with the not orgs.
Yes.
No, really, they're not
so
the
I guess
orgs.
They're stealing their plots from Goanger now?
Oh, no, Goanger was never this overt.
It was all about preventing the Earth from being polluted. That's pretty overt, I think.
And yet, somehow, this is still more beat you over the head with it.
Oh, well, okay.
Yes.
And let's see, the what do you call them again, Paladin?
Not Org of the Week?
Yeah, they have a very interesting method of summoning their monster this week.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Crap, I'm trying to remember, sorry.
That's how interesting it was.
Yes.
Well, Blob Guy and Bigfoot went to a little graveyard. Apparently in
right.
But I've heard this one.
You have?
Oh, this isn't a joke, is it?
Sadly, it's... Well, it kind of is and it kind of isn't.
Bigfoot and the Blob walk into a graveyard.
They dig up your mom.
Bigfoot, the Blob, and the Rabbi walk into a graveyard.
Looks like you blew a seal.
Best show ever. We have to make this part of the show interesting so somebody will at least sit and listen to part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Paladin, do you remember what they did next?
They brought the Not Org back from the dead, really. At least that's the impression I got.
Yeah, it seems to be something like that. They just tore that old dead org right out of the ground.
That's why you should always use a burial vault.
Well, then they would just have to go in with a sledgehammer. Or like a oxyacetylene or something.
Or a crane.
Well, whatever.
Or just grow and rip the roof off.
Sounds like it would get painful for a minute there.
Tear the roof off the mother sucker.
So, Paladin?
Alright. Kosei Knight's still on the rampage, and when the others try to show up and stop him, he shoots them, which is
worth
selling.
That's awesome. Completely reasonable. I mean, who among us has not wanted to just stop and shoot them all at one point or another?
He didn't need, like, an excuse. They didn't have to try and stop him. He could have just done it anyway.
He basically did.
I like Kosei Knight.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting about the Leon Cellular? It's got a sound programmed into it that relates specifically to the special header that comes with the Gosei mic.
That's kind of weird. I guess.
It's got a Summon King sound header, I think. King voice header, something like that.
Right.
You just made me think of it right then. Okay. Anyway.
And.
So yeah, Gosei Knight guns down the Ghostagers.
Whoopee.
And they talk to Master Head yet again. He tells them there's no record of anyone called Gosei Knight in their, you know, archives or whatever, but they do recognize the Ground Lion Header. And so that leads us into Gosei Knight's origin story. He was a header that was given a human-shaped form in order to continue his duty of protecting the planet.
And he has access to all three major Gosei powers.
Which he demonstrates in this episode, and seems to be more competent when using those powers than the other Gosager.
Well, of course.
Far leap there, huh? I mean, how can you even imagine someone being more competent than the Gosagers?
It's unfathomable.
I think a stiff breeze would be more dangerous than a Wada.
Well, Mickey, have you forgotten already? There was that one episode where the wind punched Alda and Eri in the face.
Oh, how could I forget that?
Okay, so this week's not or gimmick was something to do with toilet paper.
Well, technically mummies, but yeah, that's the effect they used.
Yeah.
I'm noticing a trend.
Well, they had to wipe after last week, right?
I wonder if that was intentional or not.
This show just keeps wallowing in shit.
We can only hope that somebody on the staff has enough of a clue and sense of humor to want to do something like that, yes.
Yeah.
At this point, somebody there has to realize what a pile of crap they've been making for the last, 4 months now? Almost five.
4 months?
Dang. Actually, more like five.
Dang.
Yeah.
It feels so much longer.
I know. Okay.
Rolling on episode 18. Ugh.
So, toilet paper org, anyway.
They convince Gosei Knight to wait for 5 minutes so they can get the other humans out, because
out
he just
where?
Wants to
you,
go in shooting.
Even, you kind of skipped over that part.
Which part?
Where they're getting the humans out of and why. You basically skipped over the important part of the episode.
Well, I thought we could get through this discussion faster.
Well, okay, so Toilet Paper Org goes and takes over a TV station and starts sending toilet paper through people's TVs.
Yes.
To, like, control them or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
Even though you glossed over it, it doesn't really make much sense when you pay attention to it either.
That's kind of why I glossed over it.
So, in other words, he does the same thing that the series is doing.
Well, no, that would have been if last week's monster spat shit out of the TV. Then yes, you would be quite correct there, Fort Max. Anyway,
so did the Ghostagers win?
No. No, the Ghostagers all got killed, and the series is over.
And they're going back to Goandra now. You happy?
Woo!
So yes, the Ghostagers make a deal with Gosei Knight to wait for 5 minutes before he mows down the TV station and everybody inside it to deal with the problem.
He should have just gone in guns blazing.
Or shot the Ghostagers again.
Yeah.
Or both.
Or both.
Or just run over the place with his Zord, so...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there needs to be some footage of his Zord, like, rolling over buildings and people's cars and shit.
That would be good.
So it probably won't happen.
Running and screaming.
Well, I don't know if they get away with the running and screaming.
And then Ghost and Nuts, you know, just laughing the whole time while doing it.
You know, you could at least dub the laughing in. But I think you'd have a hard time, you know, doing the buildings and cars and things.
Maybe we just, like, you know, fan edit in some Godzilla footage.
I don't think anybody would notice the difference. But, I mean, choppy edits work just fine in the second season of Power Rangers.
Not really
nobody,
well.
Nobody at all noticed that the Thunder Megazord would occasionally turn into the old Megazord, or the wrong monster would be in a shot. You know, nobody noticed anything like that.
I assume that was just part of their powers.
Okay, so even I noticed how bad the editing job was, and I was 7.
Feel old, Mickey. Feel old.
It's working.
Okay, Peldon.
So the last thing noteworthy in this episode is a couple of new Ghost A Great configurations.
Yeah. New configurations?
Yes.
Actually, 3 new configurations.
Just 2, actually.
I thought they used all 3.
No, just Landic and Seek.
Hmm. Well, the 3rd can be implied, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've taken the awesome that was Pirate Hat Megazord, and they've removed the Pirate Hat from it.
It's horrible. Why would you do such a thing?
I don't know.
You're buzzing again.
I don't care.
Okay.
Might as well just let everyone see these. Here's another Seek Ghost A Great.
Yeah, that's very creative to just call them another.
Well, when we first heard about this, they translated the name as Irregular Seek Ghost A Great, so I don't think that's any better.
Well, that's completing the whole shit theme.
How about Abnormal?
Well, here's...
Abnormal Seek Ghost A Great.
Well, you
abnormal.
Know, losing the pirate fish hat is kind of lame, but adding a chainsaw to your chest is kind of awesome.
And here, in that spirit, here's Abnormal Landic Ghost A Great.
Well, yeah, but you know, if they wanted to, they could have the pirate hat and a chainsaw coming out of the chest.
That's true.
The two are not necessarily exclusive.
They're just too dumb to figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Landic one, he gets grabby tits.
Yeah, good name for it.
Oh, my.
Going from Bird Butthead Megazord to Grabby Tit Chest Megazord.
It's really easy to put good names on Ghost A Great forms. Why can't Japan do it?
Because they lack creativity.
Apparently. They're creative enough to come up with a form in the first place.
Okay, so,
That's pretty much it for Ghost Eggers this week.
Boy, these summaries are getting to be just as bad as the episodes themselves.
Yep.
This is why I always leave when you talk about Ghost Eggers.
Oh, hey, speaking of Ghost Eggers, I was playing around with the hand toy the other day.
Why? We were almost done with it.
I know. But I realized something that I've never seen anyone do is that you could take the neck from Ghost Eggers Dragon and plug it onto the fist hole of one of the arms. And then plug a head on top of that, and you can have, like, extendo reach.
I don't think the Deluxe can do that.
Well, that's
go,
lame.
Go, say arm.
It's on a shelf over here. Let me grab it real quick.
Also, Candy Toy Data's Hyper is a pain in the ass to paint.
Oh, well.
Everything scrapes.
Of course.
All right, let's try this.
Hey, Paladin, while we're on the subject of the toys, what Sailor Moon toy out of your collection are you going to review for us this week?
I have nothing that would match that.
I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah, I guess it can work.
Great success!
Not really, it's still Ghost Eggers.
Well.
Well, you
but
said you
can
like
have, like, a really
Mecha,
long
though.
Reach chainsaw.
Yeah, extendo arm chainsaw.
Or you can turn the hammerhead into like a four hammer type of deal.
Go say Mjolnir.
Yeah, there we go. I'll name out Palkia and Pearl.
You know, it's really kind of a sucky episode recap without any double to talk about.
Yeah. We could review an old double.
Sigh. Yeah, Fort Max, you've watched the first 20 episodes of Double. Which one of those stories did you like the best?
For pretty much any time that Philip ends up leaving the base gets interesting. Or any time Philip interacts with anyone.
Philip is one of the best characters on the show.
Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was babysitting for my sister's kids. And I was watching an episode of Double while I was there. And my niece saw Philip on the screen and asked if that was a girl.
Wonderful.
That's Japan for you.
And then when I told her no, she asked why he looked like that.
Did you just say Japan?
Well, she wouldn't really get why that would be a correct answer.
Well, that's when you explain why it is. Because Japan is just like that.
That would just take too much effort. I just kind of dismissed the whole conversation. It was funny. But Fort Max, there's no particular episode that stands out for you?
Well, they're all great. But, I did like the one where, the episodes with, the violence, memory.
How come?
I'm trying to remember that episode.
This was the one where the younger of the family sisters Walking. Was getting stalked by by her manager.
Wakana is her name.
Yeah.
So what was interesting about that for you, Fort Max?
Well, mostly the interaction between the between Wakana and Shotaro and Philip.
That's where she and Philip first meet up again, but she never gets to see Philip.
Right.
They talk through a door.
Yeah, they first start having the romantic tension.
Creepy. But that's Japan for you.
Well, that's this show for you. This show is all about creepiness.
Yes, but
From Naked Wedding to Star Wars relationships to...
Well, that's my point, though. The Star Wars relationship thing and even beyond that is not, you know, that uncommon, sadly.
That's frankly. Gross.
Yeah, kind of. That's Japan.
I'm going... Where do we... And I remember this one trailer for the first Star Wars movie that explicitly mentioned the romance.
Awkward.
Which just proves George Lucas had no plan going into it.
Still doesn't.
Well, yeah.
But the prequels were all revenge anyway, because we didn't like Howard the Duck.
But even back then, there was no plan, obviously.
Oh, no, he totally wrote it all beforehand.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's see, what was episode 20? I don't remember now.
That was the one where... where they defeat the Ice Age memory.
Oh.
So XL showed up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Poor Ned.
XL's irritating. I don't really care for his character much.
Fort Max, do you miss Nazca?
Yes.
And now you want to go and buy the SH Figure Arts Nazca, don't you?
No.
Yeah, me either.
Does it transform?
No.
The XL figure transforms.
Not the figure.
But then again, it's XL, so, you know.
Yeah, the figure arts XL doesn't transform.
Well, there is one that does, so.
Right. Which is about the same size and costs about as much. There's also a transforming double figure that goes between Cyclone Joker and Extreme.
How does that work?
A head swap and the chest spins around.
That sounds lame.
It is.
Sounds like your mom.
It's at least better than the Autobot Spawn's Masked Rider figure.
Yeah, Fort Max. It's slightly better than the Autobot Spawn's Masked Rider. Slightly. It's...
I want to figure a Shroud on her dirt bike.
Do you remember the Mutations Ninja Turtle figures, Fort Max?
Yeah.
I think... I didn't have them. I know one of my brother... One of my brother's friends did.
Did you ever see the Shredder?
Yeah, he changed into Rokusaki.
Right.
I only saw one that went from Turtle to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Right, that was the first ones, and then they did more later.
They also had Bebop and Rocksteady.
And a foot soldier in April, and then I think they went into the vehicles.
Wait, there was April?
Who turned into a cat.
Okay.
Really badly.
There's Splinter, remember. And I seem to recall one of them turned into one of those mole tanks.
Wasn't that Shredder?
Wait, that was after they got into the vehicle part of it.
Okay.
There was a Shredder that turned into one of the drill module things. I think it was Shredder.
But there was a Shredder that became human, too, I remember. Well,
right.
Less armored, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Those were actually pretty good toys from Playmates.
Surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, they actually looked good in both modes. And
well, except for April.
The foot soldier
only transformed between regular foot soldier and foot soldier with, like, machine parts sticking out.
Which is pretty cool, I think.
I guess. It's just, those are obviously the weak toys of the line. The Mutations Rocksteady, though, is probably, like, one of the best executions of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Bebop just looked
weird. Yeah, the Bebop Rocksteady mutations were better than the real toys.
Well, Bebop looked weird because he ended up with sleeves.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
Yeah. Pink sleeves, also.
Better than green sleeves.
Okay, I'm cutting this off right here.
Thank you.
Now for a commercial break.
Yeah, let's take a break and bad things will happen.
How's it any different
from the podcast will continue?
Well, no, you've got us there.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hello, this is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. I am also on one of our other podcasts, which is Fanboy Versus, and I really think you should check it out. Fanboy Versus is our comic book podcast, and each week we bring you lots of fun news and information around the comic book world. It is hosted by J.D. Church and features Ender, Chris McFeely, Chris Triplett, and, of course, me, Brian Kilby.
And cry for justice. Dreadful, so that one I did try to read, and it's just abominable. Characters, well, the first issue alone, every two pages, a character literally drops to their knees, throws their hands up to their heavens, and just cries, "Justice!"
I wish I was joking!
Check it out at tfradio.net. Comes out weekly. If you like comic books, you'll love Fanboy Versus. And Fanboy Versus is brought to you by Value Mags. Check them out at tfradio.net/comics.
Over 3,000 photos, more than a dozen different toy lines, 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? FigureReviews.com brings you in-depth reviews and the best toy photography online. Join RAC and XV for quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome. FigureReviews.com.
XV, Game Mini, Paladin, Fort Max. Superhero Time!
And also, if this topic goes boring, we don't have to spend an hour on it. We can cut it short.
If we spend an hour on this, I'm going to go shoot myself.
All right, then we'll finally have something interesting.
Shut up, bastard.
Whoopee!
Okay, are we ready?
Might as well.
Aye, aye, Cap'n.
We're back. If you'd like to stop listening now, I completely understand, because for this week, we're going to be talking about episodes of Sailor Moon. Mickey, why don't you explain
still,
to us the rationale
it's
behind this?
It's Sentai. It is Sentai. It's a team of five people in colored outfits that fight monsters of the day. And furthermore, the live-action version shown in Japan was made by Toei.
And shares a lot of actors with previous Masked Rider series.
A lot of actors, strangely enough. So,
it happens.
I assigned two episodes that basically tell the same part in the story, the introduction of Sailor Mars.
Which makes sense. Mars is an okay character.
So, thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't have time this week to sit down and watch these episodes. But I'll be real interested to hear what the rest of you have to say about these.
Except I gave you these episodes like a month ago.
Yeah, but then we didn't record for 3 weeks, and I forgot about it till Sunday.
Ah.
But, you know, I'm sure the three of you can converse intelligently about this. You all watched it, right?
I watched it. Anyway, it's the first full episode of anything Sailor Moon that I'd seen.
Oh, so this is your first exposure. What did you think?
It was... The cartoon was decent. Nothing particularly great about it, but nothing particularly horrible about it.
Yeah, you know, Mickey, you really should have assigned the dub of that episode of Sailor Moon.
I considered adding that to the links as well, but I feared I'll just won't make y'all watch too much.
Well, no, I mean, you know, the dub instead of the subtitled original, because the dub is what most people think of with Sailor Moon.
Of course, I am surprised that the dub actually used the... actually adapted the theme music.
Yeah, that's one of the odd things about the dub is that they changed everything about the song except for the music. And they added a bitchin' guitar solo.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the music in Sailor Moon dub in a little bit. But the episodes, though.
Okay, we'll...
And of course, the live action,
start over that sentence one more time.
I'm having trouble articulating how bad the choreography is.
Ah.
Unmorphed fight, U.S. fight sequences in season one of Power Rangers looked more convincing.
Yes, that is a fair analogy.
But, you know, Sailor
Moon...
No, go ahead. You probably got a better point than I do.
Let me counter that by saying this is the first time I've actually seen the live-action show, and it fixes the biggest issue I had with the cartoon. And that's when they go through their henshin sequence, or whatever you want to call it. They actually look like completely different people.
Yeah, that's actually... You know, I've seen little bits and pieces of the live-action Sailor Moon before, and I really appreciated that... When they were, before they transformed, you know, they looked like average people. No crazy hair colors or hairstyles.
Right. They looked like regular Japanese schoolgirls.
Meanwhile, then, once they transform, the standard hairstyles that you are expecting help add to the disguise factor. That was actually a really good move, I think.
I agree, completely.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Probably never happen again.
Probably not.
Yeah, the live-action show, it's a pretty low-budget experience, and it shows. I'm not sure if it was the film stock they used, but a lot of it has this real handy cam kind of vibe to it.
Well, okay.
Like you're seeing too many frames per second.
Since you mentioned that, I've seen clips of Masked Rider series from around the same time, like Hibiki. And it looks pretty similar, so I think it was just something that Toei was doing at that time.
So it might have been an in-house style at Toei then.
Right.
Well, I'd say it's forgivable, but it still looks pretty bad, so...
It does, and it puts me off watching some of the older Masked Rider series for the same reason.
I don't really have any problem with the main problem that I have is with using the type of... Well, with a different type of film stock or whatever, is that when it's inconsistent. But I don't have a problem with it if it's consistent with how it looks. but just I, one of the main gripes that I had with Turbo was, of course, the vast difference in the image quality between the U.S. and Sentai footage.
Right, which we talked about some in our Turbo episode, how it just seemed to be completely the worst quality film stock possible for Car Ranger footage.
Though the main thing that I noticed on, even when it was first staring, was on just how the color saturation was different.
Mm-hmm. So,
what?
Am I wrong in thinking that Sailor Moon is probably the only live-action all-girl Sentai team?
Well,
I would doubt it.
At least the only one where everybody is dressed all the time.
I don't really want to know what you're thinking about.
Rule 34. Okay.
Yes, well.
Unless you want to count the evil team of ninjas from Kaku Ranger.
I guess that counts.
Yeah, that's a good point for it, Max.
Well, the differences between the live action and the anime version of Sailor Moon is that the live action supposedly follows the manga a lot closer, except when it decides to not do that anymore and goes off in an entirely different direction about halfway through.
And of course, you're expert enough in Sailor Moon to be able to articulate these differences for us.
Well, yes. The live action one is much less, well, it's much less action oriented. It's more about the relationships between Usagi and Mamoru, or Sailor Moon and Tuxedo Mask, if you will. And then about halfway through, things start getting strained where they morph Luna into a human sailor soldier, and they add in extra villains, and
well, you know,
it just sort of goes off the rails.
Well, the thing with Luna seems to be based on something that happened in one of the anime movies.
There was an OAV,
and
where
speaking
she became
of Luna,
human.
That the Furbus puppet looked better.
Yeah, yeah. How were they thinking with that?
Well. The thought was...
Is the budget that low, really?
I think the thought was it'd be a lot easier to just have a plush cat be alive rather than trying to actually animate a CG cat all the time.
Well, the problem is when you can see the stitching in the cat's fur.
Well, I think that's the intention, is it's supposed to be a stuffed animal. It's not supposed to be real looking. It's supposed to be like a teddy bear walking around and talking.
Which isn't the worst way to go with the idea.
No, but then when they switch to CGI shots of it walking around, it looks terrible.
Definitely.
It ruins the whole illusion of it being a talking stuffed cat.
I can't argue that point because, you know, I didn't actually watch it, so.
Yes, well, I watched your Saban's Masked Rider, so.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to hold this over your head for quite a while.
Yeah, whatever.
And, of course, he completely ruins your plan by not watching it.
I know.
Funny how that works out, isn't it?
Maybe this is a payback for me missing that episode a while back.
So, well, okay, Mickey, why don't you run down the basic idea of the story of these two episodes and then talk about the differences between how they pulled it off.
Okay. Well, the basic idea is that the evil organization, which is run by Queen Beryl and her henchman Jedi, they're trying to steal energy from people to take over the world. You know, pretty typical cartoon Sentai plot.
So in other words, they're using a Megatron plan.
Essentially, yes. I need more energy so I can win.
What did you just call the henchman? Jedi?
Jedite. Or
okay,
Jedite.
Yeah, the first group of villains was all named after stones.
Yeah, gemstones, basically.
Jedite sounds like a terrible rapper.
It does. Anyway, so
well,
this is episode.
You know, if the show would have been
targeting...
produced at a slightly different point in time, that probably would have been one of his disguises.
Probably. But this episode is targeting a Japanese shrine where a girl named Rei is a shrine maiden at. And where the two episodes differ is that of how they're going about stealing the energy and from which people. The anime, they're concentrating on Jedite infiltrates the shrine and is passing out these bogus love charms to idiot schoolgirls. that hypnotize them and puts them on buses, and the buses then fly away into an alternate universe.
It's amazing how many idiot schoolgirls there are in the Sailor Moon universe.
Not really.
Is there any other type of schoolgirl?
Thank you for it, Max. And over on the live-action side of things, their plan involves kidnapping 7 holy shrine maidens for pretty much the same purpose of transporting them to another alternate dimension and then sapping them of their energy.
But it costs less to use 7 people instead of 7 busloads full of people.
Well, it'd be a lot harder to get a bus to fly through a black hole, too, in live action. So this is a much more cost-effective method.
You know they've got a crappy CGI team to animate Luna. I'm sure they can make buses fly through the air and look equally crappy.
If they spend all their budget getting Luna animated, then they probably don't have nothing left.
Not even a Matchbox bus on a string?
That would be great.
I could have gone for that.
Mm-hmm. And it would still look better than Luna.
So it's the same basic plot on both sides, but it's just executed different ways.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a lot of things that are very similar about them, too. About how Sailor Mars gets the pin. Luna leaves it there for her. Of course, in the live action, it's a bracelet, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the bracelet's less, like, suggestive, so.
Yeah, they've modernized a lot of the elements of the show, replacing, you know, compacts with cell phones and such like that.
Right.
They kept a lot of the original background music, though, which is interesting.
And sadly, they didn't keep the perverted grandfather.
They don't call it makeup anymore when they transform, do they?
They do. It's just sort of it's delayed a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, Ray's grandfather is awesome in the cartoon because he's a bisexual old lecher.
Is there an anime in Japan that doesn't have an old lecher at some point?
Yeah, but most of them aren't bi. Which is what makes him sort of doubly hilarious.
Okay. Do you say so?
I guess I'm the only one that finds that funny.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just one more element of Sailor Moon bending gender issues. Because they do it a lot.
Uh-huh.
From the all-female cast being the heroes of the show. Uh-huh. To later on adding lesbians and transgender.
Uh-huh. And then the dub just bends it right back.
Yeah, which makes it more insane.
And the dub does, from what I've heard, the dub does a pretty poor job.
The dub does a poor job of just about everything. They change names, relationships, they edit stuff out.
It sure wasn't Running Warriors.
No, it's a pretty brutal hack job, probably even worse than the original Dragon Ball Z.
Well, you know, Sailor Moon is the example a lot of people hold up for, you know, dubbing massacres.
Yeah, and it's valid.
Not deserved. I mean,
whereas
seriously.
Dragon Ball Z was entertaining. When it was bad, it was at least entertainingly bad. Gave us a home for
infinite
losers. that was awesome.
Plus, the original edit of Dragon Ball Z also cut out a lot of the unnecessary crap from the episodes.
Speaking of Dragon Ball Z, I do like that the Nicktoons airing of Dragon Ball Kai keeps in the over 9,000 yell.
Yes, I admit that was pretty funny.
You know, I've looked at a couple episodes of that, and I'm amused that part of their censoring for Nicktoons involves making, like, when somebody's got blood running down their face, they color it to look like dirt. So it's really interesting.
Like their mascara is running.
It's really interesting when they got blood running from their mouths.
Yeah, and apparently the DVDs for the English DVDs for Dragon Ball Kai don't have over 9,000.
That's weird.
That is weird.
But Nicktoons airings of Dragon Ball Kai do have it.
Well, how does that even happen?
I don't know. That doesn't really make any sense.
I think it means the DVDs apparently apparently use a dub that's closer to the Japanese. Keeps the same animation stuff in there, but that dub has it's over 8,000 without the awesome yelling of it. But I think for part for parts of it, the Nicktoons decided to keep the original dub since they used most of the same, most if not all of the same actors.
So basically, you're looking at a TV edit versus a DVD edit.
So in other words, you're looking at the TV, at the guys behind the TV edit, knowing what parts to keep of the original version.
That is so weird.
Namely, the awesome parts.
And then that will give them an excuse to put out another DVD set in 6 months.
Right.
Of course.
Well, this
they
is
need an excuse.
So. That's Funai.
Whereas okay. We never get any DVDs of Sailor Moon anymore. Because Toei hates us.
So anyway, back on topic.
Let's see. Watching this episode plus the previews for the next episode of the live action, I gotta ask, does every monster in this series have tentacles?
Probably.
Most of them in the anime did.
Well, one of the interesting things about the show is that almost all of the monsters today are female.
Right.
There's only been a couple of them throughout the whole series that were male.
And isn't it Monster of the Week?
Yeah, whatever.
Well, okay, that's just semantics there. But the point is, I mean,
that's Fort Max.
That's also unusual to have all female villains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody just beeped.
That was my door alarm. Sorry.
Oh. Somebody breaking in?
No, Ben's going outside.
Oh. Okay, so having not watched these myself, I don't really know what questions to ask to wrap up this part of the segment, so.
Well, I think the Sailor Moon is just another classic example of Sentai, just with a more girly bent to it. But the main thing that I take from Sailor Moon is that it's funny. I view it more as a comedy than anything else.
I guess I could get that, at least from these episodes.
Okay.
Also, Sailor Moon S, was it the fourth season, third season, something like that, has a lot of parallels with Go-Onger for some reason in terms of how the characters are set up. And that it's when they introduce Sailor Uranus and Neptune, who act exactly like Gold and Silver from Go-Onger. They show up, make a little speech about how they're appearing. Then they act like dicks for a while. They kick some ass and then disappear. And then they gradually grow to be friends and respect the other team. It's just your classic Six Ranger syndrome.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we can wrap this topic up now. I know y'all don't watch much Sailor Moon, so there's not much to discuss, but
well, we
it's Sentai, and you get discussed at one point.
Right.
We have to segue into the Abomination at some point, so now's as good as any.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Abominations. There was once an American attempt at a live-action cartoon hybrid remake of Sailor Moon.
Uh-huh.
And it is terrible beyond anything Saban's Masked Rider could ever dream of being.
I don't know. Saban's Masked Rider managed to actually got greenlit, which in itself makes it even more terrible.
Mickey, why don't you...
They put one of the Sailor Scouts in a wheelchair.
Mercury, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. The only footage that exists
of
this is...
Well, that's what I've always heard. It was Mercury in a wheelchair.
Yeah, the only footage I know that exists from this is like... it was at a con somewhere that someone showed it of like a theme song demo reel type of deal. With a pretty peppy little jingle playing over it. It looks like Sweet Valley High crossed with Jim and the Holograms.
And I had seen neither of those.
The part I liked best about that was part of the animated portion they showed had them on basically sailboards.
Yeah.
In space.
I think they have a base on the moon as well, from what I can gather.
Because they have to be sailors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... We'll put the link in the show notes. Everyone needs to go out and watch it just to see how bad the Americans can rape something.
How bad can get.
Yeah. Like, Michael Bay can only dream of ruining a property this badly.
Michael Bay does Sailor Moon.
Well, there'll be a lot more breasts in slow motion.
Yeah, see, that seems like it'd be right up his alley.
Of course, everyone's skin would be all orange, though.
I'm sure they'd find some way to justify that. Okay, so most people say that this was a Saban production.
That is technically inaccurate.
Technically?
Yes, technically. Hold on a second. Let me find where that damn thing is. A lot of people attribute it to Saban, but it's actually made by a company called Toon Makers.
Maybe that was just the studio that Saban contracted to produce some of it.
See. Hold on one second here.
Have they done anything since?
Mickey's so well prepared.
That I can't tell you. Well, I've got the wiki tab up here. I just got to reread it to get my facts straight before I say something that's blatantly wrong.
Why? That's
I don't memorize
part.
That well.
That's the best part.
No, while he's doing that, I'll toss this up.
Okay, what do you got?
A much better look at the Leon Laser and Leon Cellular.
Oh yeah, I looked at that video earlier this afternoon.
Okay.
It doesn't show most of the button combinations for the cellular. The first video you sent to the mailing list actually showed the most combinations I'd seen so far.
That was a pretty low-quality video.
Yeah, but it still demonstrated the sound features the best so far.
All right, quoting from the wiki here, because Renaissance Atlantic had previously been instrumental in Saban Entertainment's acquisition of Toei's Super Sentai series for reimagining as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, people who viewed the music video mistakenly believed that Saban had actually created it. So there you go. It's actually from a company called Toon Makers.
So what year did
they
try to do
Renaissance
that?
Atlantic. Year 98 was when it was first revealed at Anime Expo, but I'm not seeing anything actually dating the video itself.
When did the dub Sailor Moon first start airing in America?
94?
See, I was in high school. Let me think.
Was it 94?
That sounds about right. I was either a sophomore or a junior. I'm leaning more towards sophomore. So that'd be like 94, 95?
So yeah, starts then, 4 years gains in popularity. 98 sounds right for an attempt,
but 98
even
just,
as one as horrible as this.
98 just the first time anybody got to see it.
Yeah, I think this actually existed before they brought over the dub. First investigating the property.
Yeah, I remember at one point hearing like 92, 93 for this attempt. But I don't have anywhere
that
I can point for.
That matches the animation style of what was going on at the time, so... That seems about right.
And kind of the style of the music they use, too.
And as well, the outfits, the live action. Right.
And, of course, the
it's
timing.
Awesome.
And, of course, considering that would probably put it around the same time as when Saban acquired the Sentai rights.
When the strip mining of Japanese television began.
Right.
Pretty much. Well, yeah, because didn't Dragon Ball Z start airing in syndication around the same time, 94-ish?
Wait, didn't Dragon Ball start before Dragon Ball Z?
There was a 13-episode ocean dub of Dragon Ball. I don't remember when.
That happened first or second, though?
It might have started first, although being only the first 13 episodes, it didn't really help anything.
Yeah.
Well, that covered the entire plot of Dragon Ball, didn't it? 13 episodes?
Sure.
It's not the first 13, and not 13 in a row.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never actually seen that version, so, you know. See,
so they broadcast it like ABC Family broadcast Power Rangers Remastered?
Well, more or less.
At least those are all episodes basically in order.
But they're still shown haphazardly.
Very. No, see, what we should do one week for a topic is Dragon Ball Z, and then we can talk about the live-action movie, which I will conveniently not watch.
I've seen it.
Why?
Because I like watching bad movies. And sadly, it's not bad enough to be great, it's just bad enough to be boring.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
Like when your favorite really bad fanfiction writer improves just enough to stop being really bad, and it's just not worth reading anymore.
Or it's like when we go from Mortal Kombat Annihilation to that fan film that came out a week or two ago.
Or, you know, every time we record a podcast.
No, I'm pretty sure that's just...
That would imply we were improving.
Or it would just imply that we were never so terrible that we were entertaining.
Or even just so terrible we looped. We went past entertaining it all the way back to terrible.
Right.
Not possible.
So do we have...
Boring is the uncanny valley between good and crap.
Right. So do we have anything else to say about Sailor Moon for this week's show?
All the girls are hot. There, we said it.
You said it.
Yeah, you said it.
Well, it's been said.
I just think when you have a crossover and have Tuxedo Kamen Rider.
No.
Yes.
Just...
Absolutely, yes.
Look, you got Masked Rider Skull who wears a hat. That's about as close as you're going to get.
I want a Masked Rider who throws roses to hurt people.
Wasn't that original to the cartoon?
I think so. I don't think that was in the manga originally.
Didn't his name Tuxedo Kamen originally?
Yeah. Which translates into Tuxedo Mask in America.
Yeah.
So did they adapt the throwing roses thing into the live action?
I think so, briefly.
Well, see, now the buzzing's getting too bad, then I can't tell what he's saying anymore.
All right.
But say exterminate first. Well, I guess it's too late now.
Admittedly, I haven't watched all of the live action series, just a couple of episodes, so I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure he did throw roses in it, because I think I saw him do one in episode 3.
Oh. Okay, then. So, anything else this week?
This conversation is more lively than our Godzilla one, at least.
Shorter, too.
Yep. Because I knew when to stop.
Yes. Fortunately. So, what do we want to talk about next week?
Didn't we say Lost Galaxy?
Yeah,
Lost Galaxy. That's great. Great. Yeah. Okay, good.
We need to talk about something good. Sailor Moon
into something good. I'm down with
that. Like their costumes. Those were great.
But Charlie Brown. Are you watching the same show?
I was being sarcastic.
Oh. Okay, well, so next week we'll talk about Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
So the Magna Defender costume wasn't great?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're a bastard.
I am. Different, but...
It was better than the Ranger costumes.
Yeah, well...
They did have good helmets, though. I'll give them that.
Yeah, they really kind of did, didn't they?
Yeah.
Those were pretty good.
It's just too bad they wore sweaters. All right. Next week, Lost Galaxy. Who's going to pick the episode to watch?
I already picked the episode to watch. Rescue Mission.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Because, I mean, that's probably, like, the best example of Lost Galaxy you could ask for.
Right.
Okay, that's enough. Bye now.
Bye.
So long.
It's been a pleasant evening. Thank you for listening to us.
What have you been smoking?
You said my end was too mean last week, so I figured I'd do something nicer this time.
That's just, like, you know, phony.
You're phony. Your face is phony. Your mom's phony.
So how far are you going to take this?
I've arrived at the end already, I believe. I don't think... What more can you go other than your mom?
I've arrived at your mom's end.
There you go.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'll get a review ready for next week.
Right, you got the Lights of Ginga.
Yes. And all the other crap, too, of course.
They should make the Lights of Ginga and have them be all plaid.
See, now, I find that funny just because I like plaid, but I'm sure there's some actual joke there, too.
That's right, XV is a fan of plaid.
Yes.
It's a big aficionado.
So was that the joke?
Wait, what was?
Yeah, what was the joke?
Gingham is like a type of fabric.
Oh. Okay.
Not a big fan of textiles, apparently, but you like plaid.
Yes. And bagpipes.
What pipes?
Bagpipes.
So he's a Scottish one.
He's Flynn.
I need to find somebody who can play bagpipes and get them to record our theme song.
You have a theme song?
What?
You have a theme song?
The Superhero Time theme song. Don't you ever listen to the show?
Oh yeah, that.
It needs to be a duet between bagpipes and a theremin.
What?
The theremin, the instrument they recorded the original Star Trek theme song on.
Oh.
And Doctor Who, too, I think, as well. Not certain on that, though.
The Doctor Who theme was a bunch of tape recorders linked up together.
Okay, so it wasn't actually a theremin, then.
Right. There was no type of synthesizer that had been in existence yet, so it was essentially just, okay, we're running a bunch of stuff, bunch of tones on tape and putting them together and hoping everything syncs up right.
And it did pretty well.
All right, so next week we'll be talking about Lost Galaxy and, you know, stuff. And I'm sure
probably
it'll be
Pokemon.
Better than Sailor Moon.
So is this enough punishment for this week?
I suppose.
I don't know, ask Mickey, it was his idea.
Until next time.
And until until XV actually watches it.
Never. Never.
And woo, new Futurama in 3 days.
I hope it's better than the last season.
You mean the movies?
Yeah, they were very disappointing.
I'd have to agree.
The first one was good, and after that, just kind of...
I liked some bits of the Dungeons & Dragons one.
I liked some bits of the last one, but just... I just didn't think they were even interesting enough to purchase. So, I mean, I rented them from Blockbuster, but...
But even that was too much.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, hopefully going back to regular episodes, they'll get the humor right again.
Probably not.
And
you know, once they
and sadly,
for a long
only
time
one episode of Doctor
up,
Who left.
Shut up, Fort Max. You know, once they drop a series for a while and then to pick it up again, it's usually never quite the same as it was before.
That's true. That happened to Family Guy. It used to be good, they brought it back, and it sucks.
It used to be good?
Well, it used to be watchable. Now it's intolerable.
I don't know. From what I've seen, the quality of writing, i.e. none, is pretty much the same first episode to most recent.
Nah.
I would think that you're right.
There you go.
And what do you mean last episode of Doctor Who? Do you mean like there's no more ever at this point, or just end of the season?
End of the season.
Oh, okay. See, I just started season 4, so I'm a little behind.
You'll catch right up. It's fine.
And okay, I do like that we're actually having a actual story arc. As opposed to a random word being thrown around for every other episode that then finally is something that is completely random.
You mean because
that isn't revealed until
you mean
the
this series Doctor Who is being handled by somebody who can construct a story?
Yep.
I'm miss David Tennant, though.
I miss Eccleston.
Yeah, that
Matt
too.
Smith is awesome, though.
I liked Eccleston. I wanted more of him.
Oh, well.
I want more of Paul McGann.
If you want more Eccleston, go watch G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the funny thing is I watched G.I. Joe before I ever watched Doctor Who.
Oh.
And I did not even put it together that was Destro when I was watching Doctor Who, because it just didn't connect for me.
Well, he didn't really look similar, what with the hair and all.
Eccleston's
hairstyle really changes his appearance. If you go back and look at, like, older movies he was in, he looks really different from one role to the next.
Like, Gary Oldman level of different?
No, I couldn't say. I'd never paid that much attention to Gary Oldman.
I'm pretty sure Gary Oldman is actually like 12 different people.
Or I didn't know I was paying attention to Gary Oldman.
But still, we need more Paul McGann.
Which one was he?
1990s TV movie.
So he's the one that appeared once and that was it?
Actually, he's appeared multiple times in the current season via archive footage.
Okay. Well, don't be spoiling nothing for me now.
In other words, you'll see some clips of him somewhere in a montage of various of the previous Doctors.
Okay. Well, we didn't like... He had like a bunch of stuff like in comic books and novels and stuff throughout the 90s, though.
Yeah, and okay, still does, but...
Okay, but just no TV stuff other than that
right.
One thing.
Well, I'm sorry to cut the Doctor Who conversation short, but we're still recording podcast here, so...
You can edit it out.
Or I'll just leave it in and we'll just cut it off right here.
You'll cut out the Sailor Moon talk and leave in the Doctor Who stuff.
Or I'll just take all of this and append it to after the end theme. Like
the
cold Pokemon stuff that one week.
Yeah.
Just have like 10 minutes of completely unrelated nonsense.
As opposed to
hour
and that's
and a half
different
of,
than the rest of the podcast.
I was
going
to say, as
how?
Opposed to the hour and a half of vaguely related nonsense. If you would give me a chance to finish my jokes, Fort Max.
At least we'll have double next week.
Yeah, I'll have two episodes of double next week.
Not if you don't watch them.
I'll have doubled my double.
That's like quadruple.
Extreme.
You mean extreme?
Yeah.
You have to shout
Surge!
It. Your voice totally just cracked on that. That's awesome.
Which just made it more awesome sounding.
Yeah. More extreme sounding.
Okay, so I got I've got the Whoopi from Paladin.
Whoopi!
And now I've got Fort Max's Surge.
Surge!
Now I just need a soundbite from you, Mickey.
You have the buzzing.
It's not the same, though. I could just go in and do that with digital effects later. You know. It's not the same as just dropping in a sound bite.
Yes.
Right. Okay, well, that's all for us this week, finally.
Yay.
Next week it'll be something good, probably. So see you next time.
Well, the topic, at least.
Yeah. It's something good discussed by us, which... In the end, I think results in an average.
It's a tie.
It'll be something that more than one person knows something about.
And something probably that XV will have watched.
Emphasis probably.
Yeah. I'm not going to hold up any hopes on that.
Well, Mickey, I don't know how you figured you were going to get revenge on me for The Masked Rider when you cannot actually force me to watch anything. That was very short-sighted of you, Mickey.
All right, then. Clearly, he doesn't have a satellite to launch you in. What do you expect?
Right.